content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. You want to go higher, baby. You're in the right place. Hello, everyone. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Junior, how you doing?
I'm good. Doing good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
I'm actually really mad and frustrated, but I'm not going to talk about it.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody please give me, call Junior and give 214-787-1190 and give us the number of a really good pool service here in Dallas that does what they say they're going to do, okay?
I've always heard pools are like boats. Just have a friend that has one.
My God. I'm ready to fill it with sand, okay? I'm ready to fill the damn thing with sand. I swear to God. Oh, my gosh. But anyway. Yeah. I got to clear the mechanism.
Yeah, let's move on from
let's
that.
Let's have some fun.
Yes.
But we've got a fantastic show today. I'm about to introduce Dr. Sarah Myhill. And I have to tell you, so I was reading, I was this morning, but I've read parts of it before. She has a book. It's Ecological Medicine, The Antidote to Big Pharma and Fast Food. You guys, it is amazing. It is so amazing. I can't even tell you. It's probably one of my top five favorite books ever now. It's
nice.
Full of, I'm getting you one for Christmas, Junior.
Another
gift.
Man,
you
got,
I'm telling you. No, this is a really important book. And everyone out there listening, I hope that you enjoy her performance, or not performance, but picking her brain. We're very honored to have her with us. We're very lucky to have her with us. So let me introduce her, Dr. Sarah Myhill, qualified in medicine with honors from the Middlesex Hospital Medical School in 1981, and has since focused tirelessly on identifying and treating the underlying causes of health problems, especially the diseases of Western civilization. She has worked in NHS and private practice for 17 years, was the honorary secretary of the British Society for Ecological Medicine, which focuses on the causes of disease and treating through diet, supplements, and avoiding toxic stress. She is the author of several books, including Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, It's Mitochondria, Not Hypochondria, as well as Sustainable Medicine, Diabetes, the PK Cookbook, The Infection Game, Ecological Medicine is the one that we're talking about today, The Antidote to Big Pharma and Fast Food, and The Energy Equation. You can find her at drmyhill.co.uk. That's drmyhill.co.uk. Welcome to One Life Radio. It's great to have you back.
You're very generous, Marie. In fact, when I was listening to you talking about swimming pools, I was reminded of my father's definition of a boat. A boat is a hole in the ocean into which you pour money. And it sounds like your swimming pool's the same.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even tell you. You know, it's and then, yeah. You're getting me started now. Oh, my goodness. But Dr. Myhill, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you with us again today. And I hope that all of our listeners are in for a big treat. I'll just say that. And a lot of education. So let's get started. You know, the first line of the first chapter in your book is Ecological Medicine is Mankind is Effed. Like da-da-da-da-da, right? Mankind is... it's screwed, in other words, with an F at the beginning. Okay, so why did you decide to kick the book off with that line?
Well, it's a very good wake-up call. Now, the demise of human beings has been well predicted, and Stephen Hawking, one of the greatest minds, he reckoned that mankind would last 1,000 years. Other people have put it as a lot less than that. And the problem with human beings is that we are consuming the resources of the world in order to sustain lifestyle, and that is completely unsustainable. I mean, the first book I wrote was called, on this subject, was called Sustainable Medicine, how we can look after ourselves and remain healthy in a way that doesn't destroy the planet. And ecological medicine is really an extension of that. It's how we can live in harmony with nature and improve our health in consequence of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, throughout the ages, people like Samuel Johnson, Samuel Pepys, great diarists, have despaired for the younger generation, thinking, how on earth are they going to cope? But now I really, really do despair for the younger generation, because their quality of their health is deteriorating. We have more children in special needs in school than ever before. The average intelligence is falling. And the reason for that is our children are deficient in, yes, they're calorie rich, but they're deficient in vitamins and minerals. They have far too much sugar and refined food in their diet. They're being poisoned by chemicals, by electromagnetic radiation. They really don't stand a chance.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, the young generation has come through and prevailed and been successful because they're fundamentally healthy. And now modern young people are fundamentally unhealthy. They are not fit for purpose. Now, we can manage that to a certain extent. You know, we have fantastic intelligence and resources to look after them and care for them and do our best. But the situation is getting worse all the time.
Yeah, it is.
And I constantly... I mean, I don't know if you're aware of the Gaia hypothesis, which considers that the world is like an organism, which breathes, eats, consumes, you know, it acts like an organism.
Mm-hmm.
And we are to the world, the human race are to the world, like a cancer growing on its surface.
Oh,
and we are growing uncontrollably, and we risk killing the world and certainly killing ourselves.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you wrote that in the book, and this book is so good. If you're just now joining us, we are with Dr. Sarah Myhill, and we are discussing her book, Ecological Medicine, The Antidote to Big Pharma and Fast Foods. I love the cover of it, too, where you talk about sunshine and micronutrients and love and detoxing and the sleep and food and all these things that contribute to a healthy life, right? But will you tell us about being investigated by the General Medical Council, or the GMC, more than 30 times between 2000 and 2012. People need to listen to this. This is astounding, and it's wrong, and people need to hear about it. So it's more than any other physician in history, and yet you didn't have one patient complaint. What happened, Sarah?
Well, this illustrates, you know, if you like, it's a microcosm of the story of my medical career, because the first 20 years I worked as a National Health Service doctor in general practice, doing all the things that general practitioners do. And as I became, you know, more interested in the causes of disease, I realized that conventional medicine was not asking the question why. It's not asking, why does this person have high blood pressure? Why is this person overweight? Why does this person have cancer? And so on. It's simply dishing out symptom-suppressing medication in response to symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not good medicine. It's not scientific. And it's certainly not satisfying.
So
I became increasingly disillusioned with that approach. And then I realized that the things that I really wanted to do, the way I wanted to heal patients through diet, through micronutrients, through lifestyle changes, were not acceptable within the NHS. In fact, I got ticked off when I was working as a GP because my prescribing budget was so low. Because I virtually prescribed no drugs, that made me a bad doctor. So, you know, there was a slap on the wrist for that. And then when it got to 2000, you know, then I realized I couldn't be a good doctor and work within those constraints. And at that point, I went independent.
Wow.
Now, I'm a great believer that all information should be freely available to everybody. And so the first thing I started to do was to build a website and put my thoughts on that, my views on that, how I go about treating conditions, you know, the root cause of diseases, and that website has grown from there. We revamped it 10 years ago, since when it's had 21 million hits. So it's well used, but I'm also gobby. You know, I like to speak my mind. And you know, my view is that you know, this country has spent a lot of money training me. When I was at medical school, again, that was expensive. It spent a lot of money, you know, looking after me as a general practitioner. And I think that the people living in this country deserve my opinion. And if
right.
I think something is so, then I will say it. Now, and that is the point at which complaints started coming in from the General Medical Council, because I was saying things that you would not find in conventional medical practice. And as you point out, I've never had a complaint from a patient. All the complaints have come from other doctors, health authorities, or sometimes the General Medical Council itself, because they do not understand ecological medicine. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I had a complaint from the General Dental Council because I recommended that one of my patients should remove their mercury amalgam fillings because they were poisoning him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that was bad advice. And I've been complained about because I love using vitamin B12 injections. They're one of my favorite multitasking tools. They're very good treatment for fatigue. They're a very good treatment for the foggy brain because they help you to detox. They assist protein synthesis. They help in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the GMC, because I am so anti-establishment, they ran with every single complaint that arrived at their door. So actually, the total is now 38 complaints. And the current score is my Hill 38, the GMC nil, because I've kicked them all into touch. And after the first hearing, I could no longer afford legal cover, so I conducted my own defense. And the joy of doing that is that at my hearings, I was able to say exactly what I thought, how, when, and why. I won all my cases in consequence. So what this tells me is that I must be the safest doctor in this country. Because
yeah.
I've been more investigated than any other doctor and not found wanting.
Yeah, it's crazy. You read it and you see and what you went through. I mean, it's just crazy. And the funny thing is, so the General Medical Council, and this is in your book, Ecological Medicine, that we're discussing today, if you're just now joining us on the air. And they wrote about you, the problem with MyHill cases is that all the patients are improved and refuse to give witness statements against you. So, I mean, what are they going to do with that, right? You're an incredible doctor. And it's really unfortunate that they were trying to basically bring you to your knees, right?
Yes. They were trying to shut me down. Whether I've been lucky or whatever, I have survived. But believe you me, there have been many very good doctors who have been so persecuted by the General Medical Council that they've either gone out of business and gone and retrained to something else or taken early retirement.
Wow.
So it's, in my case, it is a joke. And I have survived that joke. But for the other doctors, it's very, very serious. And the worst thing is that, and I know very many doctors working within the NHS who would love to practice the sort of medicine that I do, but they dare not. They dare not speak out against the obvious atrocities, the obvious things like COVID, like vaccinations, like the vaccination of children. They dare not speak out about these things because they know that if they do so, they will be censored by the General Medical Council. Mm-hmm. They will lose their jobs. They will lose their money. And all that goes with that, their house, their family, their kids, their education, school, and so on. So this is a method by which good doctors are being gagged by the establishment. And that is not a good state of affairs.
No, absolutely. And we're going to go for a quick break. Everyone stay tuned. More coming up with Dr. Sarah Myhill. We are discussing her book, Ecological Medicine, The Antidote to Big Pharma and Fast Foods. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
We have an exciting announcement to make. Jared Ramirez, our on-air microbiome expert and his team at Enviromedica, took home the 2021 Nexti Award for Best New Product Supporting a Healthy Microbiome. The Nexti Awards recognize the most progressive, innovative, inspiring, and trustworthy products in the natural products industry. We've always known about their TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. It provides broad-spectrum gut health support while strengthening the body's adaptive response to immune challenges. It is a completely elevated gut immune system support product, a perfect welcome addition to your supplement routine. Visit Enviromedica.com to learn more and order your TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. Congratulations, Enviromedica.
A decade of educating and learning. You're listening to One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. I love that music, Junior. Oh my gosh. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Dr. Sarah Myhill. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. If you're just now joining us, Dr. Sarah Myhill, a qualified in medicine with honors from the Middlesex Hospital Medical School in 1981 and has since focused tirelessly on identifying and treating the underlying causes of health problems, especially the diseases of Western civilization. Today, we're talking about her book, Ecological Medicine, The Antidote to Big Pharma and Fast Food. So, Dr. Myhill, for the listeners out there, what exactly is ecological medicine, what you call the antidote to big pharma and fast food? What is it?
Okay. Ecological medicine is all about asking the question, why? Why does a patient come to me with particular symptoms? Why do they have that symptom? Now, why do they have headaches? I mean, conventional medicine will treat headaches as a paracetamol deficiency. Why does that person have high cholesterol? No, we don't treat it with statins. We ask the question, why is the cholesterol high? Why? And I cut my teeth on patients with chronic fatigue syndrome. Why are people fatigued? And the important thing here is if you can answer that question, the why, if you can identify the mechanisms by which that patient is getting those symptoms, that has obvious implications for management. And I lay out the book, Ecological Medicine, in exactly the way that I take a history from a new patient. So we start off with the symptoms, and symptoms give us the clues. Symptoms give us and if you think of this as a roadmap, you know, our symptoms are the signposts. It tells us where we're going, Mm-hmm. And it obviously gives us very important clues for the mechanism. So, for example, the symptom of fatigue, which is treated so badly by conventional medicine, is treated as if it's a complete mystery. When you think about it, that symptom is very, very obvious because we all have a certain bucket of energy to spend in the day. And if we spend more energy than the body can generate, then we will die because there's no energy for the heart to beat, for the brain to work, for the gut to function, and so on.
Right.
And so to prevent us from spending that potential bucket of energy, the body gives us symptoms to slow us down, to stop us from spending energy. Mm-hmm. Obvious symptoms like we feel tired, and therefore we go to bed at the end of the day, sleep, and wake up the next day. Our brain doesn't work very well if energy delivery mechanisms for the brain are impaired. And these are classical symptoms I see in my patients with chronic fatigue syndrome. No energy, poor stamina, foggy brain. And what's so interesting here is that the number one cause of death in Western world these days is dementia. And dementia is characterized by poor energy delivery mechanisms to the brain. So all these interventions that I'm using to treat my patients with fatigue syndromes work brilliantly well for patients with dementia. Mm-hmm. And this has been proven by a wonderful neurologist from California, Dale Bredesen. He reverses dementia by using a ketogenic diet, supplements, and B12, and various other interventions as well. Mm-hmm. So these interventions, not only are they very safe, not only are they highly effective, but they are available to everybody. Everybody can access them. You don't have to go to an expensive doctor or have gene therapy in another country to get it done. These are all cheap, simple, effective tools that are available to us all. Now, guess who does not want you to know that? Big Pharma. Why?
Yeah.
Follow the money.
Oh, yeah,
it
yeah.
It is as simple as that.
They have destroyed the medical system. Absolutely.
It is the story of the medical system. And Big Pharma wants us to have symptom-threatening medication. You get another symptom, another problem, and you end up on a cocktail of expensive drugs that makes big bucks for Big Pharma. Mm-hmm. And that is what is stopping this style of medicine getting out there. And what I do know now is that we do have, as I call it, the rules of the game and the tools of the trade for everybody to heal themselves. And that's why I started writing books, because by writing books, I can speak to the world. Now, I can't sort everybody out, obviously, much as I would love to. I thought I could when I was a young doctor, but I now know I can't. And through my books, I speak to the world, and I give them, as I call it, the rules of the game, the tools of the trade, so they can do it themselves.
Yeah, no, and it's an incredible book. It really is. I just bought two more copies while we were on the break. This book is, it's almost like, I don't know, it's like a Bible of good health, if you will. And your health is your wealth. There's nothing more important. Nothing is more important. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, right? If you're sick and you're dying, you're not going to be able to spend it or use it anyway, right?
Correct. And that's a wonderful analogy that you use. And one of the things, you know, I say to all my friends and my friends is, you know, your health is like money. You don't know until you've got it until you've lost it.
Right.
Yes, of
that's
course,
right.
Money is like it. But health, yeah, you, and it's something you have to work at. It's not a God-given right. But say, if you work at it in the right way, and I detail all the important things that one needs to do, you can stay fit and healthy and disease-free and live to a happy and old, you know, long old age. So you improve your life in terms of quality and quantity. So yes, of course I know I'm going to die, but I want to function to my full potential for as long as I possibly can, and then drop off my perch very quickly when the moment arises.
Yeah.
And I'm quite sure everybody listening to this program wants to do that as well. But I have to give you the, I have to give people the knowledge to do that. And it's all there free on my website, in the book, whichever format you care to pick up on.
Yeah, it's an incredible book. It really is, you guys, everyone out there listening. So, Dr. Myhill, when did the medical community start to shift from treating illness or illnesses to only wanting to mask them? When did it begin?
It's been a slow progression. And, of course, when Big Pharma started producing drugs in the 1930s and the 1940s and the 1950s, the early drugs were incredibly helpful and incredibly powerful, i.e. antibiotics. You know, I would not like to practice medicine without antibiotics, antivirals, antifungal drugs, because so much pathology has an infectious driver. Mm-hmm. But those drugs really, they just bail you out of a hole. And when you get problems that require those drugs, that should be a wake-up call to you that you've done something wrong, you've picked up some nasty infection, and you've got to change. And I learned much of this when I wrote The Infection Game, when I worked out that many diseases have an infectious driver. But the reason those infections get into the body is because you've got a poor immune system.
Right.
And so the regimes I'm talking about are all essential for good immunity. And with good immunity, you can kiss goodbye to COVID. You can kiss goodbye to influenza and flus. You know, you can be protected from the nasty herpes viruses, Epstein-Barr. You can live to full your full potential. But I say it's hard work. You've got to work at it. But it's all very doable and very possible. So as people, you know, suddenly thought antibiotics, magic bullet. And there became a general impression amongst, you know, the community that all we needed was the right drug for this condition, the right drug for that condition. And we gave responsibility for our health to doctors and to drug companies because it's easy.
Yeah,
you know, one pill, one ill, and you walk out without symptoms. So you go in with a headache, get a prescription, and you walk out without a headache.
Yeah.
It's easy, quick fix medicine. So when you symptom suppress with medication, you actually not only mask the underlying pathology, but it progresses even more quickly because we have symptoms for a very good reason. We have symptoms to make us change our habits. So this really took off in the 1980s and the 1990s. And suddenly, you know, so many people being medicated for high blood pressure, so many people being medicated for high cholesterol, for depression, low mood, gut disorders, reflux drugs like proton pump inhibitors. And suddenly life was not possible without a cocktail of drugs. Mm-hmm. And, of course, many of these drugs are addictive. Once you start taking them, you know, it's difficult to stop them and therefore to come off those medications and to get back to a healthy lifestyle is a very bumpy ride. You get nasty withdrawal symptoms. You need energy to do it. And that is difficult. So the longer you are stuck on these drugs for and the more addicted you become, the harder it is to turn things around. And, of course, addiction is Big Pharma's best friend.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, it's come back and back and back for it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, as you know, there are lots of social addictions. We use alcohol to control our symptoms. We use smoking to control our symptoms. Cannabis, you know, amphetamines, you name it, opioids. We use these drugs to control our feelings, and they're very difficult to get rid of.
Yeah.
So I don't promise my patients a smooth ride. In fact, I guarantee they will have a bumpy ride. Right. But I can assure them that if they can get over these early hiccups, these early problems, they will improve the quality and the quantity of their life, and they will avoid pathology. I mean, as you probably gathered, I specialize in patients with fatigue syndrome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, when they see me, they have no life. They can't work. They haven't got the energy. But what I can assure them is that their best years are ahead of them, because when they get those regimes in place, they're not going to get cancer. They're not going to get heart disease. They're not going to succumb to COVID. They're not going to get dementia. They will live well into their 60s and their 70s and their 80s. And that's what doctors should be doing.
Yeah. No, when you were talking, touching on antidepressants, you didn't actually say antidepressants, but antidepressants are a huge problem. And as you said, they are very addicting. People don't realize when they get on them that it is brutal, almost impossible to get off of them. And it just masks the real problem, right, Dr. Myhill, like you said?
Absolutely. In fact, I can remember when I was working, you know, in the late 1980s, 1990s, and the SSRI drugs came in, like Prozac, for example. And I can remember the drug rep telling me, and you know, very shortly, and the good thing about these drugs is they are not addictive. Mm-hmm. I now know that is rubbish. They render people emotionally numb, and when they try to come off these drugs, they get withdrawal symptoms. So, you know, they are all addictive. And what doctors are doing so often, especially in the psychiatric field, is they are simply replacing one addictive drug with another. It might have a different name. It might have a slightly different method of action, but they're not getting at root causes. They're just symptom suppressing and giving people short-term fixes with addictive drugs. That is not good medicine.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I had a talk with someone last night who I love very much, who has a lot of different, not so much medical problems, but, you know, emotional and mental problems. And I was trying to tell them one of the first things that you need to do is exercise every single day. It's about changing little habits, that you can't have a fit mind if you don't have a fit body, that you have to take control. And exercise is so critical for our mental health, our physical health. And it's accessible every day. All you have to do is do it. So many people don't, though. So many people would rather take a pill than address the fact that something as simple as they're not exercising every day, or getting enough sleep, or getting, you know, good love, or, you know, micronutrients, or whatever it is, right, Dr. Myhill?
Exactly. You know, the treatments that, you know, we are talking about are available to everyone. Yeah. Now, I have to say, one of the problems with exercise is you do need energy to do that.
Right.
And, you know, that symptom of tired all the time, you know, is reckoned to affect about 40% of the population. It's a very, very common symptom. And if somebody is primarily presenting with fatigue, it's no good me telling them to go and exercise, because that just makes the energy problem even worse. Mm-hmm. So more fundamental exercise is diet. The single most important thing that one can do improve one's health is to change one's diet. And the biggest single problem with food is its addictive nature. And the problem with Western diets is they are high in sugars, they are high in refined carbohydrates, what we call junk food, but that food is very addictive. And what characterizes it is, in the short term, we get a hit from it. We get a buzz from it, which might be a physical buzz, it might be a mental buzz. It picks us up. And therefore, you can always tell the addicts, because they go through the day snacking on things, and they're not satisfied with a meal of meat and vegetables. They have to have that sweet pudding afterwards. But they go through the day with fruit juice, sweet drinks, fizzes, Fantas, bags of crisps, Mars bars, chocolate, sweets, whatever, to try to keep their energy up. And in the short term, they get a little hike from it, but in the long term, it makes them terribly fatigued. And there are many well-recognized mechanisms by which that is the case.
Yeah.
So the starting point for everybody is to get onto what I call a paleo ketogenic diet. Cut out the sugar, cut out the junk food, cut out all the addictive food. And the interesting thing about addiction is that one addiction tends to switch on another. So, you know, people who go to a pub maybe and they have a glass of wine, then they want a cigarette, and then they want something sweet. You know, it's as if one inevitably follows another. And the key to fixing addiction is to give up all of them. And then you stop being reminded, oh, I've got to have another something to drink, to eat, to smoke. And once you give up all the addictions, life becomes so much easier because you stop craving, you stop feeling hungry, your energy is hugely improved, and most importantly, you sleep. I was fascinated listening to the adverts that were coming in. There was an advert for matches, obviously aimed at people who don't sleep. But the commonest reason for inability to sleep is addiction, and it's sugar addiction. It's carbohydrate addiction, because every time we eat sugar or carbohydrates, the blood sugar goes up.
Right.
Sugar in the blood is very dangerous to the body. The body cannot allow you to run a high blood sugar, so it pours out insulin. And the faster the blood sugar comes up, the more insulin is released. And then the sugar comes crashing down. The brain panics. Where are we going to get energy from? And it produces adrenaline. So people are running on sugar. They're constantly spiking insulin. Insulin brings sugar down by laying down fat, so they get overweight. And then as the blood sugar drops, you spike adrenaline, and that makes you feel hyper anxious and stops you sleeping. And of course, if you don't sleep at night, you've then got no energy the next day. So what do? You're going to have some more sugar and refined carbohydrates.
Right. I'm looking at the clock. We got to go for a quick break. Dr. Myhill, I'm loving this conversation. I know that our listeners are too. And Junior, I know he's enjoying it as well.
Absolutely.
It's so good. It really is. But we're going to go for a quick break. Everyone, stay tuned. More coming up with Dr. Sarah Myhill. We're talking about her incredible book, Ecological Medicine, The Antidote to Big Pharma and Fast Food. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@onelifradio.com.
Hey everyone, there's a chill in the air, which means fall and football are here. And nothing tastes better when you're watching the game than a great tasting holiday beverage. So we have some great news. The makers of Sun Warrior plant-based protein have now made your favorite holiday drinks even better by making them delicious and good for you. Sun Warrior has added two all-time favorite holiday flavors to two of their best-selling products to create the Pumpkin Spice Warrior Blend Protein and Peppermint Bark Collagen Building Protein Peptides. Grab your ice shaker and mix these two with your favorite warm or cold beverage to create a healthy holiday drink. The price-friendly introductory sizes will only be available for a limited time, so order yours today, starting October 5th at sunwarrior.com/OLR. They are the perfect stocking stuffer. Combine them with an ice shaker and you've got the ideal health-minded holiday gift. Visit sunwarrior.com and iceshaker.com to check out all of their amazing products. Happy holidays from Sun Warrior, Ice Shaker, and One Life Radio.
Celebrating 10 years on the air. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Right, everyone, we are back. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Dr. Sarah Myhill, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We're talking about Dr. Sarah Myhill's book, Ecological Medicine, The Antidote to Big Pharma and Fast Foods. It is an incredible book, you guys. I encourage you to get one for your family and read it together. And Dr. Sarah Myhill is going to start coming on once a month to discuss this book. There's so much information, important information that you need to have a healthy life. And there's nothing more important, like we said a few minutes ago, right, Dr. Myhill? Nothing more important.
Absolutely. If you haven't got your health, you have no energy. And guess how we have fun? We have fun by spending energy. And we have fun by spending energy physically and mentally and emotionally. And without energy, you might as well not have a life. So it's absolutely essential.
Yeah, no, it's true. Absolutely. So how is the book best used, Dr. Myhill, by the readers so that they feel empowered to heal themselves? Like, there's a roadmap, right? From symptoms to from mechanisms to diagnosis and treatment in the book.
Well, most people, interestingly, don't start at the beginning. Most people come to doctors because they've got a problem. And it might be a heart problem or a gut problem or a pediatric problem or a gynecological problem or whatever. And there are sections in the book that go through all the ologies, cardiology, gastroenterology, respiratory medicine, and so on. And they start to identify with the symptoms that are there and the problems that are there. And, of course, every chapter is accompanied by case histories. And having looked at, in those chapters, it tells you what you've got to do. But these things are difficult. And many people can do things, but they have to have the intellectual imperative. They have to really understand why they've got to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, they very often then go and read the book backwards. So they start off with the oldies, they see which supplements they need, what sort of diet they've got to do, how they have to be disciplined with their sleep, and then they come back to the chapters that address those issues directly. What are you going to eat? Which supplements are you going to take? How much? Whatever. And in the treatment section, I have the tools of the trade, as I call them, are into two groups. First of all, we have the basic tools of trade that we should all be using all the time, regardless. And Bernadette, you mentioned some of them, yes. The diet, the basic package of supplements, sleep, exercise, sunshine, love, all these things are vital to all of us to even start to enjoy good health.
Yeah.
And then we have what I call the bolt-on extras, you know, the nutritional tools that are proven benefit, proven effectiveness, available to all, very safe, no side effects, like vitamin C in big doses, like vitamin B12, like iodine, like the detox regimes to remove toxins. There are lots of the tools of trade. And then, as I say, the oddities is how we fit all those tools of the trade together with specific diseases. And believe you me, these are powerful tools which are universally safe. And there's nothing, pretty much nothing in that book that the man on the street cannot access fairly easily. And in the local shops, garden, hopefully in their garden, we don't need doctors to cure ourselves.
I couldn't agree more. And the book, again, is so outstanding. If you're just now joining us, Ecological Medicine is the book. We're the antidote to big pharma and fast food. We're talking with Dr. Sarah Myhill, who's going to start being a regular guest once a month to discuss everything in this book. But one of the things in this book that I find so astounding is symptoms. And here in America, especially, other parts of the world as well. But why is it so important to not suppress our symptoms?
Because symptoms, first, they are the early sign of pathology. And secondly, they tell us when we're fixing it. So, you know, if I have somebody who has a headache, for example, well, I know there's inflammation there in the scalp or the head or maybe the brain or meninges of the brain. And I then have to hypothesize as what it is that's causing that. It might be an allergy to a food. It might be poisoning by carbon monoxide gas, for example, or that would be a rare cause of. It might be a very super high blood pressure. It might be a toxicity to a chemical. And by taking a good history, I can then form a hypothesis. Because at the start of a condition, all diagnosis is hypothesis. I think it's this, I think it's that, I think it's the other. And then we put those into place. Okay, we avoid that food. Now, dairy products are a very common cause of high blood pressure. So, you know, a paleo diet would be a very good start. If the blood sugar is up and down, then that can drive headaches. So again, they want to be on a ketogenic diet. Magnesium deficiency often drives headaches. And then some forms of headache like migraine would be caused by caffeine or other such vasoactive amines. So the point is we have the symptom, that gives us the differential diagnosis, could be this, could be that, could be, which we then put to the test. And if the symptom goes away, then we have found the cause of that. And that is our diagnosis. So you might end up, well, this is headache caused by caffeine. This might be chronic headache caused by alcohol abuse. It might be chronic headache caused by low magnesium levels. So symptoms tell us when we're right and tell us when we're wrong. It's a little bit like, you know, when I was a child, we used to have a game and my father would hide something in the room. And if you got near it, he'd say warmer, warmer, warmer. And if you drifted away from it, he'd say colder, colder, colder. Those symptoms are saying warmer, 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 colder, yep. colder, colder. You're getting there. No, you're going in the wrong direction. Wow. So they are vital. And if you symptom suppress with drugs, then you don't know where you are. You don't know if you're getting better or if you're getting worse. Simple as that.
Yeah, no, that's a great analogy too. I used to play a game similar to that with my cousins while my uncles and parents would play poker. or maybe bridge. I don't know what they're playing. They're playing cards. But, in the book, you also say that fatigue is the general symptom that protects the body from itself. Dr. Myhill, can you explain that to our listeners? I think this is such an important message to get out.
Yeah. Well, we need energy for life. We need energy to do things. And if we are fatigued, then we don't function to our full potential. Now, for primitive man, that was a disaster. He wouldn't be able to hunt. He wouldn't be able to feed his family. He wouldn't be able to gather water. It's a disaster. But If that primitive man spent every last bit of energy he had, then he would die. The best example of this is Greek history, a major battle, and a man ran to tell the king of Persia of the success. And he ran a marathon. In fact, he was reporting the battle, that very battle. And he ran so hard, the 26 miles, 27 miles, whatever marathon is, when he arrived to tell the king of the great victory, he dropped dead. Why? Because he had used up every drop of energy in his body. He had nothing left for life.
Wow.
So that symptom of fatigue, if we are not functioning to our full potential, it tells us something is wrong. And we then have to ask the question, why? And with respect to fatigue, the analogy that I use is the car analogy. And for your car to go, you've got to have the right fuel in the tank. You've got to have a good engine. And in the human beings, our engine are our mitochondria. And then you have to have the right control mechanisms. The adrenal accelerator, the thyroid accelerator pedal and the adrenal gearbox. And so when I'm seeing people with fatigue, I'm thinking of those things. The fuel in the tank, which is diet and gut function, the mitochondrial engine, and then the thyroid and the adrenal glands. And it all starts off with the fuel in the tank. And just like we have two sorts of car, don't we? We have cars that go on diesel and we have cars that go on petrol. Our mitochondrial engines are designed to run on ketones. And ketones come from fat and they come from fiber, fermenting fiber in the gut and eating fat in the diet. But because sugars and carbohydrates are so addictive, we tend to eat a lot of those foods and we eat them addictively. But they are, okay, rocket fuels in the short term, but they do terrible damage to mitochondria and to the body in the long term.
Wow.
So because they're addicted, people are eating those foods. So the first thing we have to do is to reduce the consumption of sugars, carbohydrates, starches, refined foods, and increase the consumption of fiber, fat, to fuel our body with those. The meat, people think it's a high meat diet. It isn't. The amount of protein we need is the same, whether it's eggs, meat, fish, doesn't matter. The amount of protein is the same. It's not the Atkins diet. As say, we power our body with fat and fiber. And the joy of that is our blood sugar levels absolutely stabilize out. So this is the diet for diabetes. You can reverse diabetes, and type 2 diabetics can be cured every single time without exception by doing a ketogenic diet. We all know diabetes is the major risk factor for heart disease, cancer, and also dementia. In fact, dementia is being called type 3 diabetes. It's diabetes of the brain.
Right.
So it's just an illustration of how pernicious sugars and refined carbohydrates are. And actually, the diet, I could talk for your show. I could talk for several shows in succession on just the diet. And I probably will. But once people understand the addictive nature of sugars and refined carbohydrates and the imperative to go on to a paleo-ketogenic diet, once they've got that, then that is half the battle. In fact, more than half the battle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking at the clock. We're going to go for a quick break. We'll be right back. More coming up with Dr. Sarah Myhill. We are discussing her book, Ecological Medicine, The Antidote to Big Pharma and Fast Food. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Performance, endurance, hydration, energy, immunity, focus. What do these words have in common? They're what you need to reach your highest fitness potential, and they're what you get with Sun Warrior's new active nutrition line. Choose from active energy, hydration, protein, or creatine. 4 natural supplement blends that are 100% plant-based, synthetic-free, gluten-free, and with no added sugars. Order Sun Warrior's new active nutrition line at sunwarrior.com, and as always, use the code OLR for 20% off.
10 years of positivity on your radio. This is One Life Radio.
Okay, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. We are with Dr. Sarah Myhill, continuing our conversation about ecological medicine, her book, The Antidote to Big Pharma and Fast Food. We only have a couple more minutes. Dr. Myhill, what should you do, okay, if you notice that you're tired all the time? There are some mild symptoms of poor energy and delivery mechanism that are in the book. Can we go over a couple of them quickly?
Well, very simply, if your energy delivery mechanisms are impaired, then you will not function to your full potential. You will not have the energy you know you should have to get through your normal working day. You may well find that sleep is not refreshing. You know your brain is not as sharp as it should be. You're not so good at problem solving. And very often the brain will give you symptoms to stop you spending energy, symptoms like low mood, anxiety, feeling stressed. Mm-hmm. So when you start to get those symptoms, you know then that energy delivery mechanisms are starting to be impaired. And another big clue is people turn to addiction in order to cope. So they can't get through the day without several cups of coffee. They can't chill out at night without alcohol or cigarettes or cannabis or something like that. Mm-hmm. And when you start to function like that, then you know your energy delivery mechanisms are starting to go down and you need to change something in order to turn that around.
Yeah, I loved what you wrote in the book about cannabis, actually. I thought it was very interesting. So many people, you know, tout cannabis for everything now and CBD oil. A lot of people do edibles that are processed through the liver. I mean, I think it's gotten a little out of hand. Would you agree?
I agree with that. And it's another addiction. It's another symptom-suppressing medication. It's not really getting at the root cause of. And I have to say, I very, very rarely recommend cannabis or cannabis oil for that very reason. It masks mm-hmm. symptoms, and we should be asking the question why. I do see that there are some people who's, you know, if they're terminally ill and there's absolutely no hope for them, then yes, you know, you make life comfortable for them. Mm-hmm. But you don't prescribe until you get to that stage.
Right.
You don't start with symptom suppression.
Well, in the book, you talk about how pain is good for us. We only have about 3 to 4 minutes, something like that, 3.5 minutes. How is pain good for us, Dr. Myhill?
Well, it's not good for us. I wouldn't say that because, you know, it will stop you sleeping, it'll stop you doing the things. But it is there for a very good reason. And pain is an extremely nasty reason, a symptom. And therefore, it makes us really think about what's going on and what we can do to get around that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a painful back, then you know, that's agony. You know, you want to ask the question why. Go and see an osteopath. That would be the first port of call, or a chiropractor, and see if it's a positional thing. Now, think allergic muscles. I probably get more emails about allergic muscles than any other symptom. Allergic muscles is essentially cramp. And cramp is one of the worst pains you can have. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't often make you think, you know, about the question why. So often that is allergy to dairy products. In fact, you know, that's one of the reasons I got interested now, because I myself suffered from allergic muscles, gave up the dairy products, and it disappeared completely. And
wow.
And I was just better. So the point about pain is not so much that it's good for you, but it makes you change. It makes you think.
Right.
And changes are always difficult, aren't they?
Yeah, no, that's what the point I was trying to make is that pain is a signaling. It signals that something is wrong. It gets your attention so that you can address the core issue.
Correct. Absolutely.
So should people throw out their pain relievers and just live through the pain?
I don't want people to live in pain. But even with pain relievers, many people still have some pain.
Mm-hmm,
And that will give you guidance as to what the problem is. And a huge amount of pain is allergy. Pain is part of inflammation. Inflammation is characterized by pain, redness, swelling, heat, loss of function.
Mm-hmm.
And so much pain is driven by allergy. Now, that might be allergy to foods, but a major, major driver of pathology is allergy to microbes from the upper fermenting gut. Now, we could have a whole show about this, Marie, and we will. But the point here is that the upper gut, the human upper gut, should be a sterile, digesting, acidic gut. Now, if we overwhelm that, and there should be no bacteria there should be no yeast there. If we overwhelm that by eating lots of sugars and carbohydrates, then bacteria and yeast move in and start to ferment those foods. Now, that causes lots and lots and lots of problems. But one problem it causes is those unfriendly bacteria and yeast can get from the stomach into the bloodstream, and they can get stuck in joints where they drive arthritis, in muscles where they drive muscle pain, in blood vessels where they drive temporal arteritis, polymyalgia rheumatica, in the lungs where they drive asthma, you know, in the gut itself where they drive inflammatory bowel disease, and so on.
Wow.
I.e. all these pathologies have a common driver, which is allergy to microbes from the fermenting gut. And the way you start treating that is stop feeding them with sugars and carbohydrates. Kill them with vitamin C. And so many of those pathologies will simply melt away when you put those two simple things in place.
Wow. You know what? There starts the music, which means we have to end the show. Unfortunately, it has been such an honor and a pleasure. I look forward to talking with you again in a couple of weeks. Everyone, I encourage you, I really do, to get the book Ecological Medicine by Dr. Sarah Myhill and Craig Robinson, The Antidote to Big Pharma and Fast Food. I don't know what to eat today, Dr. Myhill, but I'm all over it. You've inspired me to do even a better job. So take care till next time, and thank you so much for jumping on the show with us today.
My pleasure. You asked all the right questions.
All right, everyone. Dr. Myhill, thank you again. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did. Remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. And guess what? You're in control of it. Have a great day.